Greetings, troubled listeners. Welcome back to the Troubled Men Podcast. I am Renee Coleman, sitting once again in Snake and Jake's Christmas Club Lounge in the heart of the Klempire with my co-host, the original troubled man for troubled times and future mayor of New Orleans, Mr. Manny Chevrolet. Welcome, Manny.
More money, more violence. Give me money. More money, more problems. Give me money. Something I'm working on.
Nice. I like it. I like it. I've heard that somewhere. Heard part of that somewhere before.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, what's going on?
B.I.G. Oh, man. Busy weekend that came off of last week.
Oh.
From the day after I saw you
last. Court?
Yeah. Amongst everything else, yeah, I'm trying to fight in a couple of...
He's in court all day going, who wants to sue?
Fighting a couple of charges on the side.
You know, it's crazy going nuts.
Yeah. I had to go to the dentist the day after I saw you. Later on that day, had to go to and play with Paul Sanchez at French Quarter Fest.
Oh.
That went swimmingly.
You like Paul Sanchez?
I like Paul Sanchez, of course.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds
fun. Paul and I never really spent a lot of time around each other, but, you know, as our wives are all, like, with your wife, his wife is in the group, so, yes.
The group of yammering bitches.
Well, they don't like that, but sure, I've heard them call that before, by you. But, so Paul and I have become more acquainted.
They're all residents of Whore Island.
Oh, no. Oh, they're all sweet, lovely,
but
lovely
met your wife,
girls.
But
lovely, no, they seem like
lovely
good
women.
People.
Yeah, they're lovely people.
They are, yeah. So, did that on Thursday, Friday, played.
You went to the dentist
on
Thursday?
Thursday morning, 8 a.m., and then had to play at 12:30.
Did they give you the gas?
No. I just had to have like a filling replaced.
Oh.
Actually, what happened is if this isn't too gruesome, she I thought I'd lost a filling, and she goes in there to look, and she goes, "Well, actually, what broke is the rest of your tooth. So what you have there is a filling. Now I'm just going to."
Oh, I think that happened to me.
I basically have like an entire filling as a tooth.
Well, you didn't get the piece when it came out of your mouth.
I don't know what happened. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Dr. Yu, she's terrific.
She's Asian, right?
She is Asian. Yeah. Japanese, I believe.
Yeah. Over there. Asian dentists are the best. Man, I would never go to any other dentist than an Asian dentist. This woman is a
miracle worker. She has the softest touch. When she gives you a Novocaine injection, you don't even feel it going in.
Really?
Yeah. No, she's excellent.
She probably doesn't feel it going in either.
That's exciting.
I don't know. Okay.
She love you a long time, Nicole.
Well, no, once you put it in you can't leave.
Oh, come on.
After the Novocaine shot and your filling, was there a happy ending for you?
Well, I was happy that was all that was wrong with me, and she said it's done. I was afraid it was going to be much.
At least with your mouth, that's all that's wrong with you.
Well, yes.
Because you got plenty of problems.
I got plenty of problems, clearly.
Well, she just pulled the tooth out then?
No. She filled in what had been tooth. She made more filling, so I basically have like a tooth that's all filling, or mostly.
Oh. That's impressive.
It is. No, she's a master. She's a professor at LSU. You know, she teaches. She's top of her field. Anyway,
and how did you hook up with her?
I've been going to LSU faculty dental practice for years and years. Yeah. Went and played my gig, went swimmingly, even though we had to do that with no rehearsal because we'd been rained out of the rehearsal the day before when the floods here in New Orleans. Then Thursday played with Susan Cowsill out there again. Glorious day.
Now, did she tell you to spit and rinse constantly?
Didn't have to do any spitting or rinsing this time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Dr. Yu is her name. Dr. Yu.
It was probably mostly suction.
I think it's a YU.
YU? Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. YU.
YU. Why me?
Yeah.
Me too.
Exactly.
Wound up playing.
How tall is she?
She's not. She's kind of a diminutive. She's maybe like 5 feet on a good day.
Oh.
So she put your head way back.
Well, she has small hands. You know, it's just what you want. Like, you don't want a big brutish guy like our guest here putting his hands in your mouth.
Don't have dentist hands.
No, you don't.
Well, and what about the lamp? How close did the lamp go? Because those lamps are they're bright.
Yeah, I mean, this is a modern facility, so you know, it's all pretty comfortable in there.
Okay. Now, is there an audience there?
No.
Because they're all just dentists in training, right?
Well, no, that's the thing. There is that side of the business where you can go be treated by patients, and the doctors are kind of supervising.
Treated by patients?
Well, I mean,
I don't want to be treated by a patient. I am the patient.
treated by students.
Experimental.
Yeah, that's a new program they have.
Yeah.
They're treated by students, and the doctors are supervising, but this is just a regular dental practice with just you and the doctor, except the doctor is...
You! That's her name,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay. Me and you, and you and me.
Okay.
But... Except
now you, it's LSU, so you have to go to Baton Rouge for this?
No, LSU Dental School is right there on the bayou, on the other side of the bayou.
Okay, I don't know that.
Yeah, it's off DeSay Street. Anyway, moving on from my dental worries.
Did it affect your playing, though, at all?
No.
Because remember Lori and the Partridge Family, she got braces and the radio. She could hear the radio while she was playing and stuff like that. You remember that episode? Susan Day. She was hot, man. I remember
Susan. I liked her. Yeah. She's my type. Kind of thin.
I don't understand what type means. But anyway, she's all right, Susan Day.
We should
get her on the show.
I'd love to.
Maybe she has the same dentist as you.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think they disclose that kind of information there. So anyway, French Quarter Fest, it was a great run of 4 days. I had a gig every day there. Iguanas Saturday played at the big Abita stage, totally packed with people. You got the river there on one side, and the good thing is every band I played in had a stellar set. You know, like one of those, like, you hope it all goes well, nothing goes wrong. Well, not only did that happen, but in each case it felt like the band was like really, you know, gelling, achieving a certain velocity, a certain lift to it, you know.
My wife went down there one day, mm-hmm. and she came back and she told me that, it confirmed it by all the photos I saw from people posting about the French Quarter Fest, and like on the websites, the news websites and stuff, and it just seemed to me every photo I saw was basically just middle-aged, overweight white people who have no rhythm. That's basically what I saw in every fucking photo I saw.
Well, they had a wide variety of people there. They had middle-aged white people, middle-aged black people, young white people.
I didn't see any photos of any black people.
Well, I think it maybe depended on what stage you were at, or how you point the camera, because there was definitely a big cross-section of the American population there represented.
So there were Hispanics there, too?
There were, yeah.
At your shows, there were Hispanics?
I didn't take a census there at my show.
It didn't seem like a large crowd, though.
It's so many people. There had to have been some Hispanics out there, you know. Yeah.
Well, it's free. Tens of thousands of people. Blacks and Hispanics will come for free.
Everybody likes something free. That's what I know. It's the world's largest.
But the food's not free.
No, the food's not free.
And you don't play for free.
Yeah, it's free to get in, free to see.
Right,
music.
Okay, right, so right. It's not really that free.
Well, it's free for the audience to go and see. Yes, it is.
Well, they have to pay for food.
Well, they don't have to eat. They can bring their own sandwiches with them.
Oh, really? Yeah, oh, I didn't know that.
Pack a sandwich, a lunch.
Now, was Dr. Yu there?
No, I think she was I don't know. I don't keep track of her that much.
Did she give you a prescription?
No, I didn't need a prescription.
Okay.
As long as she shows up...
Because of that happy ending, he didn't need a prescription.
She probably would have given it to him if he asked for it.
Yeah.
No, none of my doctors have good writing arms, man. Not nowadays. No doctor wants to write you for anything.
Well, you're going to the wrong doctors.
But anyway... what else is going on with you, Manny?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay. Well, you know, we did have we were approached through an email the other day to the Trouble Men Podcast email address, troublemenpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh.
If any of the listeners want to correspond with us. And it was we were approached by this person who said, I'm a CEO of this company, and I have a product called Sober Sidekick. It's an app that you put on your phone, and I'd like to come on the podcast. So it's an app you put on your phone. It you can check in, helps you stay sober.
I said, your phone is the sidekick.
I said, I think you've got the wrong podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck that.
I don't know why you would want to look for us.
Well, let's have him on the show anyway.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Why not?
Huh. Well, he's somewhere else. I think he wants to be remote. I don't.
Must be troubled in some way.
Yeah. He's let's get him on.
Okay. Well, so I didn't get rid of the email. So
yeah, let's get him on, and we can fuck with him.
Get him, roast him there.
Yeah, we'll roast him.
I was thinking, well, maybe they think we're some kind of self-help podcast, you know, which is instead of a self-harm podcast, which is what we are.
Well, traditionally, though, your guests are pulled from you, right? Not
well. We have
they don't apply.
We've had plenty of sober guests, you know, but
when the show started, by the time it ended,
right, they weren't so sober.
They were
they all start
sober, you know,
right?
Scoring flaca,
sure.
And crack cocaine.
Is that the new stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Flocka, that's the shit.
Flocka's been around for a while.
That's the shit in Florida that makes people eat each other's faces off.
Yeah, you know, it's good stuff.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Like basalt, kind of that kind of thing. It's Flocka.
I thought it'd be good to try.
Yeah,
why not?
Did you? Did you try that?
No, I haven't had an opportunity. Okay. I don't know.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Well, you had what?
I had a chance at you know, someone who had like a menu of different things, but I didn't see it on there. So I just kind of passed.
You
on
went with your vegan
everything.
Menu.
It was a strange place.
Probably best to stay away from anyway. It doesn't seem like a good time to.
Yeah,
be
I went and waited in the car.
Seems like
and
a bad.
It was just like you
seems,
guys.
Seems like a bad time. Well, yeah. You know, I did see famous American O.J. Simpson passed away this week.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
O.J. He did.
Yeah, O.J.
Where have I been?
You know, B.I.H., O.J. Simpson, burn in hell.
Oh, okay.
Instead of rest in peace. That's my alternative, you know.
Oh.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I won a lot of money you know. With O.J. I won some money
okay,
with that.
Okay, all right.
That's interesting.
So, see, there's in every one, there's good and bad. So, there you go. Okay.
He seemed like an
did Manny Chevrolet, all right.
You know,
okay.
For a while there, and then...
I think...
He did have a good run.
Yeah,
he did have a good run.
Several.
Many good runs.
He did 2,000 yards in one season. That's the first guy to ever do that.
The guy was a... The juice.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't take that away.
Miami has the oranges. Buffalo's got the juice was the thing in the 70s.
Sometimes, you know, people make bad choices, but you can't take away their, you know, achievements.
Their achievements. Okay. Yeah. All right. Point well taken.
And listen, if we go all the way back, I mean, it was pretty much killer. Or be killed, right? There was at a certain
just
point,
talking
you know,
about
eat
in
or
our,
be eaten.
In our
do
evolutionary
do?
History, sure. Okay.
Hey,
all
I've
right.
been angry.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the coverage of it that changes our take on it.
It's context.
Listen,
it's a lot of pressure.
The sales of the Broncos went up. The sales of Ford Broncos went up big time after that slow speed chase.
Well, no, because I thought they took it off the line because of it, and then ironically came out with the option to it, which was the Escape.
If you think that was
pretty
by
sure
accident.
That's how it went.
Now, do you know if he was going to be cremated or is he going to go tomb?
He has already been cremated. Now, they reported that he required his children to sign an NDA, non-disclosure agreement, before he would let them visit him. Because he didn't want them to talk about the condition he was in or any of that, in his declining condition there.
What was his condition?
Well, I guess he was dying.
He had pancreatic cancer.
He was sick.
Yeah, prostate or something cancer. And but he, you know, he had good lawyers, man, to even keep his kids away. Barry Scheck, one of my favorite lawyers ever. Barry
yeah, you
Scheck.
Like that guy, Barry
oh,
Scheck.
I love Barry Scheck. I remember... remember when Jazz Fest used to do those nighttime concerts?
Sure.
At the, what's that auditorium?
Municipal Auditorium, City Park.
I went to the men's room.
Armstrong Park.
To take a leak. Yeah, that's where it is. And I was at the urinal, and right next to me at the urinal was Barry Scheck.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we were both pissing together.
And that's a historic urinal, too, the bathroom in Municipal Auditorium.
Yeah.
Elvis peed there.
Well, the mayor's office is going to be there, too. But he was wearing a tie-dye Dead shirt, and we were there seeing the Santana.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it was a pretty good show, but the sound at that place is not that great. But anyway, yeah, Barry Scheck, he was a good guy. So OJ's dead.
Yeah, OJ's dead. So and his attorney was saying, OJ's dying wish and my strongest directive is to make sure that the families of Nicole Simpson and Ron Brown never get a penny.
Yeah.
That's how vindictive those motherfuckers are, man.
We haven't confirmed that. I mean, that's a story,
that's what the guy said on television. The thing is,
he doesn't have any money, so they're not going to get a penny anyway.
I think he does.
Who's this?
This is Jay Holland we have here, Manny Chevrolet.
Hey.
Good to see you, man. Hey. I always vote for you.
Oh, really? Where do you live?
I live in Richmond, Virginia now.
Oh, yeah. Of course you vote for me.
I've lived here for 25 years.
Yeah, no, I used to live in New Orleans for many
25 years. 25 years here, man.
It's 25 years too long, probably. No. Yeah.
I would vote for you, but I just think if it were effective, it'd be illegal. I would.
You look like the governor of Guam.
Right?
That's what you look like.
I would take that job.
Yeah.
I would take that job. And I would do it. A great job.
I bet you would.
I would have you probably as an ambassador.
Okay, that's a job you would like, Manny. You don't have any responsibilities
unless the country's getting run over.
And then you just evacuate.
You just leave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Does Guam have any Americans? Get out.
Do they have a representative here?
Who?
Representation? Guam?
I'm sure they do.
A New Orleans ambassador.
There's some fucking person from Guam who's probably got some office and some high rise here and absolutely nothing. You know, they're talking trade. That's all they ever do is talk trade.
Yeah, they meet with LaToya, Mayor LaToya Cantrell.
LaToya, you got to come to Guam.
right.
Man, most of the
she takes off and she goes to Guam.
Well, you know, speaking of the mayor, we talked about the mayor, the debut of the mayor's podcast last week.
Oh, that's right.
So I went and actually watched it. Now, the first
it's a vlog cast. Well, it's on video.
It's only on video.
Oh.
So I went to Apple Podcasts and like, Mayor LaToya Cantrell, and you see a few where she was a guest, but nothing about her podcast.
Ah.
All right, our patron Dave Clements sneaking out, trying to be unseen, but I called him out. All right, brother Dave. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
All right.
Get out.
Okay. So I looked it up on Apple Podcasts. It's not there. I'm like, okay. Well, so I'm just Googling it. I see, a YouTube feed. But I also see the press release from the City of New Orleans on City of New Orleans Stationery, saying that. So it's an official. It's not just a LaToya thing. It's an official, Office of the Mayor's podcast. So I watched the first one, and it's basically just the kind of like women's business forum where they have her and three other
business
women.
So it's another
women.
Group of yammering
it's,
bitches.
Yeah. And there's nothing about news. It's an opportunity for four people to talk about themselves, and LaToya gets to be one of them. And LaToya has a real chip. Mayor Cantrell has a real chip on her shoulder, I got to say, because every time it would come to her, it would come back to the idea that, you accomplish so much and then they still try to tear you down. And
was she talking about Manny?
Well, no, just the
well,
you know,
she's
the
Brian
critics.
Meadows. That's why.
Yeah, well,
she's Brian Meadows.
So it's an amen chorus of women there in the audience. And
so is she the host?
No. I had another host who's her communications director, and she just gets to be a guest. The mayor's communications director.
Gotcha.
Now I incorrectly reported last week that the Vagiplug lady was one of the guests.
Oh.
Now that was incorrect. That was based on the Vagiplug lady's social media
saying that she was going to be on the
Well,
show.
Saying pictured with Mayor Cantrell and saying so great to be here for Mayor Cantrell's Women's Entrepreneurial Summit or something like that.
Yeah.
So she definitely was trying to give the impression that she was included on it. But in fact, that was not correct.
So she didn't get the plug.
She didn't get the plug she was looking for.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Hold on. Is it an actual product?
Yeah. It's an actual product.
I'm familiar with it.
Nobody knows about it. It's a product.
How did you find out about it?
Well, from Manny Chevrolet. He was driving.
Do you have
I was driving. I was at a red light, And I looked at the car to the right of mine, and there was this one of those magnet door signs saying, you know, contact me about the Vagiplug. And I was like, what the fuck the Vagiplug, you know?
So you
so
reached
I did,
out?
We looked it up, yeah. Yeah.
We looked it up and stuff, and it's a real business.
Did you call and get a fitting?
Call,
or what?
No.
No, well, they were...
do you need a vagina for the thing?
At that point, yes, you do. At that point, they were just in development of the product. She
right.
just had the concept. She still didn't have even a prototype when we first
right.
discovered it.
That's fascinating.
So we followed the progress of this woman. there's videos on Instagram of watching her watching the 3D printer producing the very first like mocked up prototype Vagiplug, which is basically the idea. It's a crazy idea. It's that you need something. It's a health and wellness product. You need something to keep out debris.
Oh, right. I got it. It's sort of like muconium or something.
I don't know what that is, but
it's like human packing.
Yeah,
it's right. Oh, I know what you're talking about. But yeah. So any crazy idea? But so we followed this just because it's so unlikely. It's like this is bound to fail. I mean, I admire her.
I think it's a great idea.
You think it's a great idea? I think it sounds. I think it sounds like toxic shock waiting to happen.
Well, or in the early development.
We don't have vaginas, so maybe women do deal with debris going up.
No. I've mentioned this to several women, and they're all in shock. At the idea that this is something
well,
that they
the
would
need.
Yeah, but there's always there's a sucker born every minute, yeah. you know.
Right.
There's world's
there's
expert.
There's a cocksucker born every minute too.
World's okay. expert for removing cockroaches from ear canal is at Tulane that devised a method for getting cockroaches out of the ear canal. So that's a common enough thing here that he mastered it. So
right.
maybe it's a similar
okay.
plug need.
Well, I don't know. I haven't heard about it, but perhaps.
I
perhaps.
A vagina
does
cockroach?
Does it involve forceps, perhaps?
No, it's. I believe they shoot hydrogen peroxide in there.
Ew.
And then they get it out with some tweezers.
If there, okay. for some reason, is like an infestation of vagina cockroaches,
ooh.
Vagiplug's going to take off.
All right. Okay.
Or just if it becomes
But how often, who's the student, med student or doctor who's waiting for the next person to have a cockroach? I mean, that business might
that
be
common.
Slow, don't you think?
Yeah.
Or unless there's just people who just,
I guess it's that
pass
common.
Out in their own fucking pool of cockroaches and they go up in their ears.
I don't know. Need to take out the garbage, man.
Yeah.
It's too much garbage.
Yeah.
In
I wonder if
you
it's
got that many cockroaches.
Climate affected. If that was that back before the... climate change?
I think we have more cockroaches than ever, perhaps. Well, Manny, maybe we should get our guests in here, huh?
No, let's go.
Okay.
I'm ready to go now.
Go home?
No, yeah. Okay yeah. Get our guests in there because they can't shut up.
No. We love it. We love our guest. He has the gift of gab. Our first guest, he's a guitar player, singer, musician, band leader, licensed electrician and HVAC contractor, has his own company, Moss Electric. Without further ado, the great...
And a children's hip-hop artist, sorry.
Children's hip-hop artist. He's multi-talented. Without further ado, the great Mr. Sage Moss. Welcome, Sage.
Thank you.
Yeah, hey, man.
And I'll introduce at the same time his buddy, my good buddy, musician, band leader, singer, songwriter, engineer, leader of the band Narcissi, also a licensed registered
nurse. Louisiana.
The great Mr. Jay Holland. Welcome, Jay.
Hello. Hey. Thank you. It's my first time here at Snake and Jake's.
Now, Jay, I've been trying to get...
What?
It's your first time here
I've
ever?
I've never been in here
crazy,
in my life.
Crazy.
Ain't that some thing?
Well, you know, we've had more
probably
than...
your last time here, too.
Maybe.
Could be. Could be the start of something big. You know, we have had several guests that it's their first time here. I think, we don't have to go down the list.
I haven't been here in 30 years.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
It still smells the same, right?
It smells cleaner, actually.
Really?
It feels...
Because of COVID, probably. He had to, do some stuff.
That's
like
what it was.
Like clean the bathrooms. And clean the glasses.
It's really, they say...
And make real ice.
They talk about what washed away of New Orleans through Katrina, but really, I think the pandemic really
cleaned up this.
It changed the smell.
Yeah, it changed the smell. Change everyone's sense of smell, if you ask me.
I didn't like the mask.
You wear a mask for 2 years, and all of a sudden you can't smell anything, you know? Yeah, it's crazy going nuts.
For doing my work, though, with the mask, it was like waterboarding myself.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you start sweating.
Sweating, sure. It's no good.
I was like, this is, this is less safe than not having a mask.
Absolutely. Let's just,
or more, because you're an electrician. You could electrocute yourself.
And drown. Right?
More about, it doesn't really, you can electrocute yourself, but you still have to breathe.
Yeah, man.
Right.
I hope so. Yeah.
I can. As a nurse, I can say you do still have to.
Okay.
You got to breathe.
You can get shocked and electrocuted, right? But don't hold your breath.
Now, are you for the death penalty electric chair? You are for the electric chair?
Yeah.
Because you're an electrician.
Well, just because I'm a human.
You're a human.
Yeah. So it's fast. It's like a train wreck or something. I mean, how they can't find a vein in somebody. I'm just saying, once we do capital punishment, right? Let's do it right.
Okay. Yeah, electrical. So what it's about sort of the guillotine, though? That's the way to do it, don't you think?
I mean, there's millions of ways,
right? We always keep trying to find a
why it's
got to
be humane.
Way.
I don't know. I mean, so here's an interesting thing is that my uncle was on death row with Ted Bundy.
Really?
And they became friends. But
go on.
He passed. He beat him with liver cancer, I think. Uncle Barry died in Florida in prison.
So he was on death row.
Yeah, but they didn't.
Yeah,
they didn't.
They didn't really have to do anything.
Right,
you know, he
right.
took care of it himself. Yeah,
they played the waiting game.
It's true.
Do y'all know where they caught Ted Bundy?
Florida.
It was in Florida.
Pensacola.
Yeah, I remember
Oscars.
Uncle Barry came through. We lived in Baltimore at the time, and he came through, and it's like, oh, Uncle Barry, hey kids, you know, everybody's hanging out. It's cool to see Uncle Barry, and he leaves, and then like, literally, you know, a day later, it's like FBI and state troopers, and it's like, what the hell happened to Uncle Barry? And unfortunately, Uncle Barry got caught in Florida, where they do have the death penalty.
Bad luck.
And he was guilty.
How'd they catch him?
And again, I don't know the details.
Yeah.
He had like executed people in like Michigan or something. Yeah. He was definitely
guilty. He was a hitman.
He might have been, but he was probably more just a drug dealer that something went wrong. And Uncle Barry made some bad choices. And,
right, like OJ.
Know. My cousin Lisa is still cool, though. So she's, you know.
Nice. She's
still cool. She's in New Jersey, and she came out good, and they're doing great. And, you know, I don't think she went to see him.
Now, was Uncle Barry cremated, or does he have a tombstone somewhere?
I'm pretty sure he was cremated.
Yeah. They wouldn't give his organs. They wouldn't donate his organs, would they?
No way. No way. Okay. I don't know if that makes a difference if it's from a murderer or not.
Yeah, I don't think it does. But if you die,
these are the hands of. Well, I guess you don't donate your hands.
The old movie.
Dude, Ted Bundy ran a stop sign or a stoplight in Pensacola in front of Oscars in his Volkswagen with the seat out, and the sheriff let him go. And then he got the call back on the radio. Man, that's the Ted Bundy in all the post office. And he chased him down a mile later and called him. He had credit cards from all his victims in the car. And
well, have you seen any kind of documentary about Ted Bundy or miniseries about Ted Bundy? This guy was a lucky motherfucker because he could have been... I mean, so many times he was pulled over. So many times he was like, he's in the room and all
privileged
that. Privileged, too. Yeah, and they just let him go.
Yeah, you ain't doing nothing.
Yeah.
You don't look like a criminal.
Oh, you're fine. You seem like a good guy.
Talk his way out of it.
Yeah, he would talk.
But that's what, see, it's like,
Your
he
Uncle
ruined
Barry.
It for the rest of us.
Yeah.
Dude, my mom, rest in peace, the one time she kind of cursed me was I had long hair and earrings and shit. And she told me to look respectable, and I said, oh, like Ted Bundy? And she didn't, like, talk to me for a whole day or some shit, dude. It was a low-ass blow.
Yeah, that's really sassy.
My sisters were Kai Omegas at that time, too, which he had killed a bunch of, you know, 300 miles away in Tallahassee.
Okay, so you knew you were pushing some buttons when you said that. Oh, you did not?
I didn't shut my mouth, as usual.
All right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm saying we share that problem in common.
Okay.
Well, Well, so Shane, you know, you're not from New Orleans.
Sage.
You're not well, are you, Sage?
Sage. See, I still I have that in my notes that I always want to call you
Shane. You're thinking of my favorite movie is Shane.
Now, Sage.
Yeah, I love it.
It's a great movie. So Sage, tell us about you don't come from New Orleans. Where were you born? What's your background?
I was born in Baltimore, Johns Hopkins.
Okay. Now, Sage, that's kind of a hippie name, right? You're born like 1970. Were your parents kind of hippies?
My parents were artists. So my dad was heavily influenced by Kandinsky,
visual
artist.
Oh, I love
that.
He's
point
one of my
where
favorite painters.
A lot of his pieces, there was such a obvious connection there that he had correspondence with Kandinsky's widow.
Oh, wow.
And had attempted to like somehow get licensed or the rights to sort of carry on where he maybe would have left off or however I still have some of those letters. I'm trying to get my son who's like did French immersion because it's all in French.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was pretty lucky that those letters came back to me because you know, he passed away in 78. So I was pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't think it was going to go any further. I think she shut it down.
Right,
and,
right.
My mom was a fashion designer, and you know, she had her big stuff. She had a African partner, Olive. Remember them? They had like clothes at Bloomingdale's, and this is all in D.C.
Uh-huh.
and Baltimore, and they moved around a lot.
Art people.
Yeah, they were art people. But the story—it's like these crazy stories about like you know. And all along the way, like lots of people were killed and, you know, decapitated, boating accidents and overdoses and just, you know, murders and whatever. But
kind of a drug underground
story,
that was adjacent to.
My father passed away too early to really get any real stories. I remember seeing him, you know, cocaine parties and piles of weed and coke.
As a kid, you remember
seeing
that?
As a kid, yeah.
Wow, no kidding.
Right, which is the same. So there's piles of cocaine in this room. And I like get caught peeing in the kitchen sink, and I'm in trouble. Stuff like that, where I was just
doesn't
like, "This
seem,
doesn't make
doesn't
sense,
seem
right?
Fair, yeah,
what
yeah.
It, you'll pee you in know. The sink, man.
Exactly,
that
I know.
Ain't right?
I would.
What if we got?
I would
coke
be upset with my
you gotta
kids.
Go,
too,
you gotta go.
What if there's coke in there?
Well, there might.
But my
mom's
story was always that she never did any of the drugs.
Uh-huh.
She didn't.
She just
like
had
it.
Them.
My
for her
dad
friends.
Like dosed her one time, and she saw us all like.
So your parents
melt
were
into
dealers.
The ceiling and
is basically what you're saying.
I think they were entrepreneurs,
artists,
sure,
artists,
sure.
designers.
Okay.
Right, trying to support their
habits,
their art. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I think they're creative habits for sure.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
If you want to believe that, that's great.
So
yeah, I mean, you know, I can't ask them now.
Are they still alive,
I've
your
heard
parents?
Conflicting stories. No,
they both, went to death row.
No, no.
No, they didn't go to death row.
My father had a heart attack. My mom had cancer. They
smoking and too much coke. Heart attack, cancer.
It's hard to say. I mean, my mom got cancer. They said, oh, you know, you're going to have like a year to live. And she took like 15 more years. So.
Yeah. Well, they told
impressive.
My mom she had 10 years to live and she died a year later. So go
man,
figure.
They don't know. They're just,
right.
Yeah,
they
just
don't
guessing
know.
At all this stuff.
These fucking doctors.
Right. Know. That's like the guy who you go see the doctor and he's like,
you're doing
you know,
great.
You only got a year to live, and you're like, I'm not going to be able to pay you, and he gave me like another year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's an old Henny Youngman joke. Yeah,
yeah
exactly.
The old ones are the best ones.
Yeah.
So you're growing up in this kind of chaotic environment. You have a lot of memories from that time, I guess, you know? So, what are your thoughts about all that? Did it seem chaotic to you at the time, or just
I had
all you knew?
I had an older sister, so she was kind of like my, you know...
Protector?
Yeah, like, she was like my... Together, I knew we could kind of get through any of this other stuff, and, you know, wherever we ended up, or however the experiences went, I think I honed a skill... surviving through all that of I guess it's more about being able to raise the energy of a, you know, maybe not being a clown, but externally being sensitive to people being down or in pain or suffering in some way and be able to change that and bring in something new and something that I felt was light. And that might be a problem for me now, but
well, I mean, it's obviously a coping skill that that has served you, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why I'm drawn to music. I think that's why we all really is part of music. Manny, do you play?
No, I don't.
Well, Manny was in a band for 2 years, so he fronted a band.
But I don't really care for music anymore. Right.
But you care for people.
No, definitely really. Not.
No, definitely even less than worst. You care for music.
Yeah, yeah.
They're the worst.
Sage, do you think that that's maybe why you like air conditioning, fixing air conditioners, and electric for people because you hate to see them because you hate to see them suffer?
Well,
okay.
No. I mean,
astute observation. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all, as humans, I think that's what one of the really key parts of what separates us from all other life forms is that we'll betray the rule of self-preservation for a fellow human. And there's moments where we'll put our life on the line, which is against all the things, you know.
Evolution,
impulses, exactly, right. To do that. I don't think any other life form will do that.
Not on.
That really? I know of.
Yeah, well, no, that's inspiring. No.
I don't know. I can't remember what you just said.
Yeah, I dig that. Well, I think also resilience you must have developed along with this other coping, skill of being able to, you know, read a room and judge their states and get into rapport with them. You also must have developed an inner strength that
we did. Here, like in a nutshell, this is sort of like my childhood. Was I had to go. This was in D.C. I had to go to a school run by the health department because I had been unable to attend public school. And it was like a court. Everyone in the school was ordered by the court that you go to this school called The Other Way. And all your teachers were therapists. And it required mandatory family therapy, which, like, this is back, I had a punk rock band and I had a song called Mandatory Therapy.
Yeah.
Is what fucked up my family. But I just remember one of those sessions where it was my mom and my older sister and my younger sister, China, and the therapist, and you're in a room with this giant, like, one-way mirror. So you know the rest of the therapists are watching this whole session.
Right.
And it went so off the rails. My mom and my youngest sister, China, were literally in a fist, like, fighting violence on each other. My older sister was taking a chair and trying to break the lock to get out of this this like session room, and I was standing with the whole thing. I could see it all happening behind me, but I was looking through the glass
and you could see
and
the room
flipping them off and being like, you know,
this is what I'm dealing with, fuck y'all.
How is this helping anybody? So that was kind of in a nutshell.
Right on. So you must have become a lifelong fan of therapy at that point, huh?
Yeah, right. No, I actually have a problem with it.
That's why you got into HVAC stuff, because you just want to feel comfortable, right?
I feel like
it's too hot, you want to be cool.
I feel like I'm a comfort guardian angel.
Yeah, there you go.
Right on.
I get it now.
And actually, since you bring that up, I got to say, my mother in her advancing years has a handful of boyfriends who she calls in to do the things that my father used to be able to do, and Sage is one of my mom's boyfriends.
Right. Nice. And I'm one of her hoes.
Yeah. And
so you like the older women, is that what you're saying?
I'm not going to lie.
He likes to see them not sweat.
Renee's mom is out of this world.
Oh,
she really is something special.
Okay. Well, at 83, my mother still has a very girlish demeanor.
Oh, she's wild.
And way of dealing with the world. And I can see her, you know, like romancing all these people. I mean, not in I use that very, very loosely, figuratively. But she's ingratiates herself. It's not manipulation. She's genuinely so appreciative. And Sage, you go and take care of her. I really appreciate it, man.
Oh, man. I love it when she calls me.
Does she have charisma, you think?
I think
what it sounds like. She got charisma.
She's got a lot of energy.
She's got a lot of energy for 83, yeah.
And she definitely will, you know, and she doesn't really, you know, hold any punches. I mean, she's like, if she, whatever's going across the scanner, man, it's coming out. I love it. And then sometimes, you know, she gets distracted. I don't know. That's sort of what I was, once you had this Troubled Men podcast, right, and the, you know, from meeting you and working with you and obviously your mom and your dad, and I was like, man, I want to be on this show.
Okay.
Because she, correct me if I'm wrong, but she raised you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
No. I am very much like my mother. You know, between me and between her and my father, I'm more like my mother in many ways. I struggle to
But she doesn't play.
I struggle to be more like my father, but I am like my mother.
Although she's not musically inclined at all.
Oh, no. My mother was played piano when she was younger. I mean, she never pursued it, but she's my mother's musically talented.
So she denies that.
Music.
Well, she always tells me she's, no.
Well, I mean, she hasn't done it for years, but she's not untalented.
I think it was more about records, where I was just like, there's got to be something.
She doesn't care about any of that stuff. Where were we going?
That's
here?
What
she's
said.
Like, Manny. She's like, I just fronted the band. I'm not a musician. I just was the main person.
Well, you know,
yeah, that's kind of true.
Actually,
right?
Manny, I'm looking at the clock and our drinks.
Yeah.
This seems like a good time to take a break.
We
gotta
take a break, guys.
All right, and
so
when we come back, we're gonna have Jay
do.
And all. Okay,
we'll be right back.
One time I was walking the street, saw a little spider. I said, "Hey, little spider, what you think you're doing?"
Let's all sing it. Let's all sing it together.
Like the regular way?
What you think you done?
The itsy bitsy spider went up the water spout. Down came the rain, and it washed that spider out. Up comes the sun, and it dried up all the rain. Now the itsy bitsy spider went up that spout again. Spider. Spider. Itsy bitsy spider went up the water spout. Down came the rain, and it washed that spider out. Up comes the sun, and it dried up all the rain. Now the itsy bitsy spider went up that spout again.
Itsy bitsy, itsy bitsy, itsy bitsy spider. Itsy bitsy, itsy bitsy, itsy bitsy spider.
Come on now, get up that spout again. Come on, little spider. I'll help you, I'm your friend.
Itsy bitsy spider went up the water spout. Down came the rain and washed the spider out. Out came the sun and dried up all that rain. And the itsy bitsy spider went up the spout again.
And we're back. Back with Mr. Manny Chevrolet.
Yeah.
I am Renee Coleman.
You are.
Back with our guests, Mr. Sage Moss and Mr. Jay Holland. Now, I know that Jay is a longtime listener of the podcast, and I know that Sage has not listened to any podcast at all, except till today, and he listened to two of these today, okay, just to prep himself. So, but for all our longtime listeners and new listeners, just to affirm, this is a listener-supported operation that we have here at the Troubled Men Podcast. We don't have any corporate sponsors. We don't have any advertisers that we make you listen to or make you, you know, buy their products. We simply have a PayPal link and a Venmo link in the show notes of every show. We have our listeners support us. Periodically, you know, buy us cocktails. The show runs on notebooks and cocktails. Please, we implore you to support the show. If you're listening to the show, if you're enjoying it, if you're not enjoying it, turn it off, for Christ's sake. But if you are enjoying it, support the show. Use those links there in the show notes or the Facebook page. Also, we have a Patreon page for those people that want to support us week in and week out. We don't put anything behind a paywall, so it's all voluntary, but it does take the guesswork out of supporting the podcast. Follow us on social media, Facebook and Instagram. Rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to us. Give us 5 stars. Costs you nothing. Helps us out a lot. We do have the link for the Troubled Men Podcast t-shirts there in the show notes of every show. Have a lot of dates coming up with the Iguanas and a whole bunch of different bands that I play with. That's all during Jazz Fest coming up. You can find all my dates at on my Rene Coleman Facebook page. The link is there in all the show notes. And have a big tour coming up with the Iguanas in the middle of May, right after Jazz Fest. And all those dates are on iguanas.com. And I would mention Chaz Fest, but that's going to happen before the show is out. So that will have been in the rearview mirror. But we're going to talk about all that. And so I think that's enough of that. So back to our guest, Mr. Sage Moss and Jay Holland. Jay, I guess you don't normally live here in town these days, do you?
Only when I'm here.
Sure. But you lived here for many years, but you no longer live here, right?
Correct.
Where are you living now?
I live in Richmond, Virginia.
Okay, now why is that?
For a woman.
Okay, makes sense.
Because Virginia is for lovers, right?
It's for louvers.
For louvers?
It is. It's my blinds company.
Oh,
I'm building.
Okay.
It's cool, man. I moved up there the day the pandemic started, and it's cool. I still am allowed to come down here.
Now, you're a smoker?
Huh?
Do you smoke cigarettes?
Man. I should up there, huh?
Yeah.
Dude, that's for real. That's a thing still up there.
They have smoking sections still
up there.
They
got factories that make smokes.
Oh, yeah. They sell them cheap. Yeah.
And pay for all the stadiums and a lot of the culture they pay. It's called Altria now. They pay
really?
For festivals, whole festivals.
Now, where in Virginia are you?
Richmond, man. Richmond, the capital of the Confederacy.
Now, you were one of the guys who stormed the Capitol, weren't you?
No, thank
no.
you.
Oh, okay.
No, I was caring for a patient that day and watched it on TV.
Oh.
But it's not too far away.
Yeah, but didn't on the college campus they had some crazy thing in Richmond?
At Richmond?
Yeah, a few years back.
Like, last Jazz Fest, I think they had a graduation shooting. Yeah.
Graduation shooting?
They did.
Last Jazz Fest?
At graduation. Yep. I was out of town. I was here.
Oh, okay.
Yep,
all right.
I sure did.
I thought you meant just
maybe
for
you're talking about at Virginia Beach, the Charlotte riots.
By this time of the show, I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's a vortex of that shit.
Yeah.
Sure is.
So you went up there for a woman?
I did, and the pandemic started. So I just stayed.
Right on.
And are you married to this woman?
Nope.
No?
Uh-uh.
Do you plan on getting married to her?
If I make it, man. She'll tolerate my bullshit.
There you go, man.
All right. Now, I was trying to remember where we all first met, and I think it goes back to the Mermaid Lounge, right? Is that kind of like Jeff Treffinger is part of the conduit to you, Sage? And,
oh, yeah.
And I saw that you and your wife actually, I didn't remember this, but you and your wife actually got married at the Mermaid.
We did. Art Boone Parmer was our DJ.
I was there.
Yeah.
David Cooney and...
David Cooney was the master of ceremony.
Okay. Nice.
Sage was asked if he was sure, he said, hell yes. Instead of I do.
Okay.
It was beautiful in the garden. So beautiful.
Yeah, it was a real scene over there.
Well, that's where we met, though.
And it's stuck.
Where you and I met. Yeah, yeah.
That's where I met
Nancy,
my wife.
Was
also
a bartender.
She was a bartender there.
Oh, okay.
Remember?
Right on.
So that was fitting. It made sense to get married.
Yeah, I was working with Sage when he met her. And he's like, yeah, she gives me milk, like across the bar. She serves me milk.
Like that was a
She was three months pregnant at the wedding.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was.
Right on. Well,
she proposed to me actually at Mona's on Banks.
That's a real New Orleans romance
like,
there.
Right. She was like, I'm pregnant. Like, what do you want to do? She's like, well, you should marry me. I was like, okay, let's do it.
Smart woman.
And I was like, well, when do you want to do that? And she's like, while I still look good in the dress.
All right.
And so that's how that went down. And then it was the 9/11 attacks terror.
Yeah.
So that put a wrench in everything because we didn't know how people were flying to New Orleans. And
right.
It was a good time.
Okay.
We didn't know it was the end.
9/11 was a good time. Yeah.
Well, for him it was, just
the wedding, which was October 6th.
You should have flown the family down on 9/11 Airlines.
Right.
That would have been the thing to do.
To New Orleans, it would have been safe. But
9/11 Airlines. Bad name for an airline.
They only shut down for like a week or so.
Yeah.
I mean, we were back in the air pretty quick.
Sure, you gotta take these things with a grain of salt, man. You just gotta keep plugging along.
It was kind of crazy though because of the we had like baby shower, wedding showers combined because being pregnant.
Kill two birds with one stone.
Well, we couldn't. So since all the flights were canceled and only military planes were in the air for the next couple weeks after that, we drove to D.C. where my mom was living. And it's, you know, we got one little kid who's not potty. It was basically they evacuated like the House congressional buildings. Mm-hmm. The city was, it took us like 6 hours to get.
Yeah,
because
of the Pentagon.
They but there was still a plane in the Pentagon when
jeez.
We drove past it.
Oh, whoa.
But it wasn't the airliner, though. It was like small private. It was like a, what
is
this
little
going
planes,
on? Yeah. There's a lot of conspiracy about that whole thing.
I've seen those photos. They don't, doesn't seem like there's a whole airliner there, does there?
There's some interesting ties, though, about how, Jeb Bush or whoever was the head of security at the time in the building right next to the Trade Center that also imploded just randomly.
Yeah, I don't know. We're not going to get in all
y'all
that
remember
here.
That they canceled the week of the NFL right after 9/11, which pushed the Super Bowl into the middle of Mardi Gras here? So 2002, the Super Bowl is here in New Orleans, mm-hmm. and because they missed a week of the NFL because of 9/11, right. everything got pushed back. So they had a week of Mardi Gras. And then they had a week of Super Bowl, and then they had another week of Mardi Gras that year. And it killed me. Sage was in production production work at the time. It beat us down.
Yeah.
Like 300-hour weeks
or
something.
We did great on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
My wife was a runner for the Eagles.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like 8 months pregnant. Uh-huh. It was awesome.
She was a running back for the Eagles?
Running back for the Eagles? Oh,
yeah. 8 months pregnant.
Eight months pregnant.
Really? Yeah.
Crazy.
And she only played like two games, but.
Yeah. But they saved money because she had the baby shower, wedding shower, locker room shower.
Yeah. All right.
Some three.
Like it.
Boom.
Like
golden shower after that, right?
Hey.
Well, yeah.
That was more of the honeymoon.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
But that ain't honey, bro.
We did that on the streets of D.C., like as, you know, the military trucks were like cutting roads off.
Right. The honeymoon on the, oh boy.
Right on. somewhere I was going to go. Okay. Oh, so Jay, let's get to you for a second.
Get to me.
Yeah, let's get to you. It's about time somebody got to you. You have the band Narcissi.
Uh-huh.
Now, a lot of people don't know about Narcissi, but the people who do either are really into it or maybe don't care. But I count myself as one of those people that are really into the band.
Oh, man,
so
me too.
I remember walking into, I think this was like at the Big Top or something. I used to have that place, that place. And there's not a lot of people there, but I walk in, and I'm standing there, and I turn next to me, and it's Alex McMurray standing right next to me looking at you. And I go, oh, you dig this band too? And he goes, yeah, man, this is my jam.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And you will do things with a guitar as far as like guitar tricks that no one has ever seen or tried before. I've seen you put your left leg over the arm of the guitar while you're still playing and hop around on one leg while you're still playing guitar. I've seen you lay down on your back while the song, and this is all while the song is going, and you have a band, a trio, you just play you playing guitar and sing, bass player and a drummer, and they're chugging away the whole time while you're doing all these shenanigans. You'll lay down, unbutton your shirt, stick the head of the guitar,
yeah,
headstock down your pants.
Yeah. You saw that?
Button the shirt back on top of the strings of the guitar all the while still
playing. You
saw playing.
That?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I got something to say. Tell you about
all,
that
all
one.
The while still playing. But the thing is, anybody could do that and make noise. You're doing that, and it all sounds musical.
Yeah, you gotta be musical.
You're playing notes through your shirt on the guitar,
yeah,
and it's still sounding musical. I don't.
Yeah.
That's
you
crazy,
don't gotta
man.
See it. I can tell you about that one, man. I stuck a guitar down the front of my pants like that, so it went down my shirt, but also on my pants and in my pants leg. And you know the skinny part, not the big body part, went down my pants, but the skinny part.
I hope so. Yeah.
And you know that's got those tuners on it, those metal tuners and the ends of the strings and all that shit.
Right.
So I got the guitar down in there and I'm playing my ass off. And then the song winds up or whatever, it's time to yank it out, dude.
Yeah.
Of your pants with
yeah.
all them sharp parts on it.
Caught you a little bit.
I mean, they're a lot like a cheese cutter that
got
you used to cut American cheese.
Cheese grater.
And you got that down by your, what you call it, your tackle? And you're trying to pull it out without,
your wife
you
will
know,
never blame,
right?
will always blame you, right?
No, I'm saying.
Okay.
Oh, that's why you leave the strings long now.
Well, you get it. You just get. I got in there and I didn't know how to get out. Really.
Right.
That's why you don't play anymore, right?
Oh, we ain't playing. Ain't nobody playing.
There's nothing
around.
Playing about
uh-oh.
It. Yeah, no, he's deadly serious.
I learned that one. But it ain't just
learned
me,
how to
Renee.
Shove
the
his guitar
dudes,
in his pants.
The dudes do their bullshit, too. The bass player protects his bass a lot, but Anthony will jump on drums.
Anthony Donato, the drummer. He's a force of nature himself.
I heard him stop playing one time at the Big Top, and I turn around. His cymbals went away, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'll turn around, and he's, you know, spread the cymbals to the sides, okay, like a curtain, and cymbals went in either direction. And that's when me and Bill heard a crash, and we both are standing in front of him.
Uh-huh.
And we both look back at the same time to see his face, and that just happened to be the time when he had thrown his throne.
Okay.
And he caught me and Bill in a 6'10 split. Is it called in bowling? And we both went south in either direction. And then he jumped across the drums and punted the tip jar bucket into the audience. So money and whatever was in that went all out in the audience, and people were scrambling for get all their money back. And that was, so it ain't just me, man.
Yeah, no, y'all are all nuts. And actually, you recruited, Narcissi is, it's I don't know if this was a Narcissi project or this is just a Jay Holland project, but I remember you recruited me and Sage was recruited up there to Bogalusa studio in the country, and we had, it was kind of a lock-in there at the studio. We stayed overnight.
That was my 50th birthday.
50th birthday recording session. And we had the great Troubled Men podcast guest, Benjamin Mumphrey. Love that guy.
Dude, I want to send you some of that. You can put it on this episode if you want.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
It's rough.
So, and you were doing, at that time, you weren't even playing guitar, I don't think. You were just like directing. You would walk in and you would have, Sage was playing piano, Anthony Donato was playing drums, I was playing bass, and you would give us like a descriptive paragraph. You'd say, I want you to do this, and then kind of do this, and then do this. All right, now start playing.
I had an idea about a thing about animals coming to the urban area from a book that your wife loaned me, that research book, research labs book about animals in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I was using that as a source to think about what that's like, because you know, all the stories that you hear at sad poetry nights are usually about a lonely person coming to the city, big city, and what all disoriented, like, I don't know, Patti Smith or somebody.
Right.
So we're trying to literally write one of those. But Sage had played a bunch of stuff at my house on a keyboard that I was kind of using to sketch with. So he had almost done pieces.
Okay.
And then you just nail it, of course. And my buddy Brett Ralph, Eugene Ralph from Louisville, Kentucky, wrote a lot of lyrics on the site.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
Dude, I'm going up to see Nina Nastasia is playing at his record store soon.
Oh, okay.
One of the best singer-songwriter of our time, man.
Well, that guy, Eugene.
Brett Eugene Ralph. I've
crossed paths with him in different factions, different ways.
He's got my favorite record store, Surface Noise in Louisville, Kentucky.
Well, speaking of characters like that, it reminds me of, Sage, you were in this band, you had this band, the Sage Moss Experience with Dave Capella on drums, right?
That's right.
What a crazy player. I love his playing, man, but so unorthodox, such an interesting approach. Now,
we met when I lived in the Bywater, and he, like, it lived in what became like Mark Bingham and Sean Hall's place across from Piety.
Okay.
But before they bought all that, so we lived on I lived with my cousin on Louisa.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I would hear this guy just drumming just like an animal. I'm like, and I would be on our back porch playing guitar. And then I would start yelling at him, you know, from the porch, and we're just going back and forth. And then the next thing you know, I'm like, man, this is early on coming to New Orleans thinking that I was going to be not an HVAC contractor.
Right.
And it was really awesome that I had, that's what I was just talking about, Noise Lab. Who's the guy, the sax player that, I think he just passed away.
Nicky Sontenbach.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had him on the podcast just before he passed away. Yeah. About 3 months before he passed.
So
he was on the podcast.
That's really how it kind of went down. So I met Dave and we're playing, and he's like, man, these are great ideas. And I had really like had gone all into it, but that it was heavy like Frank Zappa influence. That I did every part of it. I wrote it all out.
Oh wow!
Gave it to Jimbo Walsh, the bass player, who Dave brought in.
Dr. Jimbo Walsh.
Yeah, that was like. He was pretty wild too.
So you write music, you're all literate in that sense?
I did. Okay. I really don't practice any. I don't really do that anymore. Right, okay. I'm probably at like a third grade level.
Right.
I can get through the chords and I can, you know, I can't do it in time.
Do you know how to read Braille?
You know, it's interesting your question though, because it reminded me of like how, if you are blind, how you know you're finished wiping your ass.
Exactly.
How do they, you know, and I did actually have
Manny,
a
Manny, do you have a
friend.
Blind person that wipes your ass for you? I didn't understand that.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to know.
One knows when one is finished.
We are, I'll say for myself, I'm light dependent. And that's what you
are.
That's what my old friend, he used to do sound for Rush, Greg Lukens.
Okay.
Was a blind man. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's still alive or not, but so he used to call me light dependent. It was funny because it was early on and I was doing electrical work, and obviously he doesn't care about the lighting. So it was more about his wife and the way, you know, he would communicate with me. But Greg Lukens is the one who actually set me off on helped me with my children's hip hop career, which that was my closest thing to being like a really.
Do you want to talk
really
about your children's hip hop career? I mean, we don't have a lot of time, but if briefly get
how
into
how many kids
it,
got killed?
I mean, you could.
Was there a lot of shooting?
Yeah,
probably not enough.
Good.
You know, I mean, this was. I mean, Mark and Sean, they were going to get behind it too, and the whole idea came back to. It really just came back to money. And I had a lot of artists who were going to do it.
Well, with hip-hop, it's all about money, man.
This is the idea.
Right?
And it was back, you know, I had young kids. So it was something more. And it was about sending a message of, with parents with children, that, you know, you're in the minivan, you're running them around, you know, whatever you're doing, all this structure in their lives. And really with the connection of the family, it really is important, the sound of the mother and father's voices to the children. And it doesn't matter if you're a good singer or not. If you sing with your children, it creates a healthier family connection. And so this was the idea was, why do we know Mary Had a Little Lamb and The Wheels on the Bus and you know,
because you're
twinkle
Itsy Bitsy Spider, which is the one that I produced and finished with a friend of mine. And the idea, so here's the hook. It was called Kitty Ditties.
Okay.
And it was modern interpretations of children's classics.
Okay. All
and right. So the idea was that we would get this like world class, you know, house band and bring in artists like Aaron Neville and Dr. John and Kermit Ruffins and Jeremy Dad. There was a lot of people. I didn't have enough to pay everybody. It didn't really come to fruition. We finished the Itsy Bitsy Spider. That was the idea. We were going to jam, and whatever children's song that came to your head, Renee,
right?
And I would let you. Then you sing it the way you want to sing it. And the idea was that we would take this to elementary schools around the country, and do like compose for like audience participation, and have places for them to clap their hands.
You know, when I figured out life was a sham was when I figured out that ABC song and Twinkle Twinkle Little Star is the same fucking song.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew it was up then.
Well, you know, like every 50s era hit that my parents. It's like 1,000 songs. Well, no, it's a circle six. You know, 1-6-2-5 or 1-6-4-5. You know, it's a million. You know, it's these standard forms that we keep reusing over and over. Well, let's jump to something more contemporary here. And this weekend, I mean, it's this show again will come out after it's happened. But we have the revitalization of Chaz Fest.
How about that?
Crazy, man. And
pigs are flying.
No kidding. So, you know, we lost the truck farm that where we always the place we always had it, you know.
It was so problematic.
Jeff Treffinger and all of his partners owned that block on.
You went
on,
out to that man. And you ever went to that show?
I performed at Chaz.
You did. You sang?
No, he did. He did comedy there.
You did stand up.
Yeah, did some stand up.
Killer.
How was the house? Fat fucking bitch who was heckling me the whole time.
How was the room?
The room was fine.
I think I might have been there.
Yeah, but this fat bitch kept heckling me, so I just let her have a mouthful of verbal.
Yeah, I think I was there for that. Yeah. That was fantastic. Good job, Manny. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is that what inspired the mayor?
No, he'd been running.
I've been voting for him. He'd been running.
Still running.
Running for his life.
Dude, you're up there with a mic. I don't know what hecklers are thinking, man.
They're asking for it.
Yeah,
just asking for it.
It's just like
she was a fat bitch, and I said, "Hey, listen, you." I said her parents sent her to a fat farm. They turned it into a ranch. Oh. That's how fat this chick is. She suffers from TB, two bellies. You know that kind of stuff. Well, anyway.
Well, so we're reconstituting Chaz Fest in the
at
the Broadside.
It's so good.
So they have the one outside stage.
Y'all playing on that one?
No. The Geraniums are always a small stage.
Indoor.
Band.
Hold on. I heard it's not the Geraniums.
It's the remaining geraniums. Because the only living Geraniums of the original band are Jeff Treffinger and me. So we are the remaining Geraniums, and then we have some satellite players who have played with the band at different times during our regular run. Doug Garrison playing drums, filling in for Damon Shea, and Alex McMurray has been a longtime fan and auxiliary guitarist, and he's going to be playing with us, and Alex still performs Geranium songs in his Alex McMurray band set. So he's going to be singing a few tunes. Jeff's going to be singing a few tunes.
We're going to do Connie's Girl.
I don't think we are going to do that, but we have Tiana Hux from Malavitas, great performer, is going to do a couple of numbers. And Narcissi, your band, Jay Holland, is going to close the show, I understand. 1 o'clock in the morning.
That's what I'm told.
That's what you're told.
By the time this podcast is out, it'll all be in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, it will have been done.
Will have been revealed.
Yeah. Damn, I can't think of any Geranium songs I could pull off, man, but if I can, I'll see about you around 1 o'clock.
It's exciting though, man. We have Morning 40 is going to be there. Valparaiso. Do you perform with Valparaiso?
No, I'm former. I ate the spotted dick, but I'm not in the band anymore.
Okay.
I missed an opportunity to be in the Morning 40.
Really?
It was like 30 plus years ago with Josh and Stacy, on St. Ferdinand.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm I'm the new guy, right? Come in and they're like, "Oh yeah, we're starting this band. Come and jam with us."
At Checkpoints.
No, this was at their house.
Free gig.
There was no Morning 40 anything out.
Damn.
I don't know. I brought a Gibson Flying V.
But you played sax too.
And I get there.
Back
not,
then.
Not you for have. This though.
You have.
Bass clarinet.
Bass clarinet, excuse me.
Sax. But,
you play bass right? clarinet with so. Machine so. Screw.
No, I love the sound of the bass clarinet.
But the I get to this thing, this opportunity. I say that now. At the time, I was blown away that they considered that this would be a band because Josh had a plastic Mardi Gras throw saxophone toy, and Stacy had like this toy piano. You know, it was like this big. I was just like, whoa, okay, all right, I give it a try. And I opened the case, and Josh was like, "Oh, you're like an Eddie Van Halen motherfucker." I was like, dude, you're too good for us. I don't know what's going to happen here. I think I'm probably just going to roll out.
Well, that was kind of the whole thing of those guys is they came on and they were like drunk and
kind of terrible.
All fucked up, but it somehow worked. You know, it somehow kind of worked in this broken kind of way. And I remember I was asking, I'd never seen the band, but I'd heard people talk about it. And a friend of mine said, "Oh yeah, they sound cool." He goes, "The problem is those guys are going to learn how to play, and then it's going to be all over." But
they learned how to play, but they still
are good music. I mean,
which I feel like
they've gone on to be in to be in many good bands, and they're still a cool band, even though
very true. Very creative. Creative people.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the same thing happened with Galactic, Prophylactic.
Well, yeah, a lot of people kind of get in bands as young people and learn how to play together. I mean, they all get better together and kind of figure out a way, or they don't, or they fall apart.
I think it might be a unique thing to New Orleans just because of how supportive the town is.
I think so. Like
to that sort of shenanigans.
We don't quit when we should have, probably.
Yeah.
A lot of bands. Any decent organized society, we would have quit.
Well, and it's interesting because we have such a high level of musicianship here, generally.
Yeah.
But then we also have an affinity for the broken and the half-baked.
Yeah, and there's the infrastructure, too. There is a club that you can play on Wednesday. That's not a given.
Right.
You know, if you got the killer bands on weekends, if somebody's got to play Mr. Tuesday night, you know?
Sure.
So you get a chance on a three-band bill.
Right. Well, so, you know, Dave Capella, just to get back to him for a second, your drummer.
Yeah.
Thing I thought was so interesting about him, he has great time, but all the stuff he plays on drums, it's like the negative space of what a drummer would do.
I love this dude.
You hear where the time is in between what he's doing. You know what I mean? It's the craziest
thing.
What
did he go on to do?
Now, he actually wrote a book about the history of the Schwegmans grocery store.
Oh, I'm reading that.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a cool book.
I sound like my kind of dude.
Last time I saw him,
he's struggling with it.
Okay.
We're all struggling.
Get some drums,
man.
We're all struggling.
But he told me, well, the first time I heard him play, the first time I remember hearing him play, I went and started talking to him. He goes, yeah, we played a gig together. I was like, when did we play a gig? He goes, I subbed for Doug in the Iguanas. Like, what? He goes, oh, yeah, you don't remember that? I was like, no, I don't. I think I blacked it out or something, man. All right,
He was that good.
I've had my ups and downs. But
has anybody else sat in on drums for the Iguana for Doug before?
We have had a few subs for Doug.
Who's that?
I can't imagine. We had Eric Bolivar. So like one time, Doug went away for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Funny thing,
Eric could do it.
Doug went away for a couple
Rehab.
Weeks to do. He went on a tour with somebody in Europe, and we had we still had the Circle Bar gig. And we had a series of drummers that we had subs. And in each case, I would send them a few videos of people playing cumbias or playing these Latin forms that we play. Check this out. This is the way you play a cumbia. And I'd done that to a few other drummers, like Carlo Nuzio played one of them. Russ Broussard played one of them. And Eric Bolivar, so I sent him that, and he sent me back a video of him playing in a cumbia band.
Oh,
it's
no,
like, okay,
great. There it
touché,
is.
All right.
Touché. But maybe some, I was trying to think of who could do it, maybe technically do it, but nobody's got his je ne sais quoi of Doug, man.
Well, you know, it's, we weren't looking for a permanent replacement, we're just
but
looking
real,
for somebody
like,
to get us through the Circle Bar
a real,
gig, you know.
You know it's a great drummer when they're not in the band and the whole sound of the band changes. You know, that's the sign of a killer drummer.
I would imagine Dave Capella did that.
I can't remember it, but I also can't imagine what Dave Capella sounded like with the Iguanas. I have no recall.
Legendary.
Mustn't have been too bad. You remembered.
Or I blocked it out. I'm not sure. But I do love the way he plays.
Yeah, it was one of those things where a family member had left me just enough money basically to... working with Nick at Noise Lab.
Nicky Sanzabach.
Yeah, to book the time. And that was the whole drive to put this project together after meeting Dave and Jimbo. And I went there to make the record, and these guys were perfect for it.
Right.
And then after it was made, I was like, well, what are we going to do? What am I going to do with this? And, well, so it was just, it was a tough gig, you know? So it was, meeting Jeff loved it, but nobody came to see, you know, of sort of this type of music, rock and roll.
It's challenging.
It wasn't easy to access.
But another Nicky Sansibar connection. I love that. I love that you just you didn't even know that he'd been on the show, and you brought that up. It shows you how the kind of cultural influence that Nicky had. Well, yeah. the French band is starting
I got palm frites and mussels on the way and crepes.
Okay.
You want in on my crepes?
I'll get in on the crepes.
Okay, the palm frites.
I'm not eating any mussels. I don't eat trafe.
Oh, you'll eat like abandoned popcorn in a movie theater. Draw the line.
I won't eat a pork chop. No, absolutely not.
I'm with you on
no
that.
No matter how clean it came, like correct. Even if you saw the pig.
It can't be clean enough.
No, it
starts off dirty. No,
the popcorn's pissed on. You don't eat that.
Right.
You know?
Before I'd eat a pork chop.
Who pissed on it.
I could always
eat pissed pork.
Go without it.
Popcorn first, too.
Well,
Manny, I'm guessing you're a meat eater.
Any final thoughts here?
Oh, yeah.
I
love cracklings, man.
Oh, that's the one thing I miss is pork rinds.
Yeah.
We got to get vegan skin, pork rinds going.
Yeah, it's skin and fat, man.
I love pork rinds.
That's not like top of the food chain.
Vegan pork rinds. We get our scientists on it.
Apex.
All right. Well, I think it's time to wrap up, huh, Manny?
Yeah,
seems like a podcast.
Yeah.
Sage Moss, thank you so much. Jay Holland, a surprise that you came in, but you know I've been trying to get you on the show forever. Thank you so much, Narcissi.
Merci beaucoup.
Moss Electric, look out for Sage everywhere. And Manny.
Yeah, let's get this over with. Trouble never ends, but the struggle
continues.
Good night.
Good night.
Howling through listen like an animal. Glisten like a star. The mission isn't masterful. The prison has no bars.